So I'm recording this on Thanksgiving, and just about 5 minutes ago, I was setting up this microphone, and the little tray that I keep it on fell over and hit my TV, my two-month-old TV, and completely busted it. So I just ordered a new TV from Best Buy. Lately, I've been having some pretty bad luck, some self-imposed, and the only thing that's kind of keeping me going right now is Winston Churchill's, "When you're going through hell, keep going." So that's my motto. Fuck it. So anyway, speaking of madness and insanity, one man who captured this really well in the 80s and 90s was one of my heroes, the amazing Eric Roberts. So today, let's talk about some of his movies, some goofy shit, my connection with him kind of vaguely, and, you know, whatever else comes to mind.
You are my density. You are my density.
So a quick correction to make. I think I said on the comedy episode that the first line of Always Look on the Bright Side of Life was, "Life's a piece of shit when you look at it." It's not actually the first line. It's later in the song, which isn't really that important. And this was brought up to me by one of my friends, Hornbeck. That's his last name. And I will now refer to him as Mr. Smart Guy, because I guess he's, you know, knows everything. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great friend. I've known him forever. And he was involved with me several years ago, something I refer to as the Seth Rogen incident. So he was coming down to visit Los Angeles, and we went to eat at this really nice upscale Italian restaurant on San Vicente Boulevard. It was called Vicente. And just super classy joint, pretty expensive, but just so well done, so pro. And so we were eating and whatever. There was this waitress there, and she was pretty cute, and she would come over and, you know, whatever. I had probably told like 5 or 6 jokes, and then she would come over and Hornbeck would be doing a joke, one joke, or finishing my joke. And anyway, she heard something and she was like, "Oh my God, you're so funny," to him. And I was like, she's like, "Okay, whatever." And she's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, you remind me of Seth Rogen." And so she walked away and I was like, "What the fuck is going on here? What kind of alternate universe are we in? I mean, he's a funny guy. Don't get me wrong, but you know, he's not, you know, as funny as me, I don't think. Maybe I'm full of shit. I don't know." But, yeah, I was kind of, I was kind of pissed a little bit after that. And I'm a terrible sport with this same Hornbeck. Actually, when I was playing like Nintendo baseball with him when I was 16 or 17 at my parents' house, he beat me and I literally kicked him out of the house. I said, I was somewhat mature about it, though. I did say, "This isn't about you. I need you to leave." And he was like, "You're kidding, right?" And I was like, "No, you have to leave." So, I kind of felt like an ass after that. But what you gonna do? And really quickly, on the boxing episode, I had mentioned this Paul Pfeiffer artist who, like, takes, you know, scenes from sports events and takes the, you know, all the surrounding stuff out of it. So it'll just be like one figure, or just, he just does a bunch of crazy shit with sports footage. He has an exhibit in Los Angeles at the Mocha Geffen, I think until like June of next year. So try and check that out if you can. And I finally got around to watching Barbie at my mom's house a couple days ago. She gave up after about 30 minutes, but I stuck it out. And hey, I was open-minded. I kind of didn't want to like it, but, I gave it an open mind, I swear. And, I don't know. I didn't love it. It kind of just said stuff that was a little bit obvious to me. It was well done. It was too long, but, I just didn't, I didn't laugh that much. I didn't think it was that clever. The Stephen Malkmus reference, the Pavement lead singer, was like, you barely even heard it. That's what I was kind of looking for. There was one funny ass part, a great part with Ryan Gosling, where kind of after he's breaking down, after the whole Dude Land or Ken Land or whatever kind of falls apart, and he's talking about how shitty the mini fridges are, which is such an incredible detail. You know, he's like crying and he's like, "The mini fridges are so small and the freezers are basically useless," which is so true. Those freezers and those fucking things are so teeny. You could fit like an Otter Pop and a fucking hot dog in there. They're so narrow. It's like, what are those for? So that was pretty awesome. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I this is probably stupid, but I think if something becomes like that insanely popular, just inherently, it can't be that great. I mean, if that many people like something, generally, yeah, maybe that's a dumb thing to think, but I think it, so maybe I'm dumb. Okay, so let's get to the topic at hand. My man, Eric Roberts, brother of Julia Roberts and father of the actress Emma Roberts. Julia and him were estranged for a while, but I think they got back together. He went through a crazy time in the, I think, late 70s and 80s into like the early 90s with some drugs and alcohol. You know, struggled with a lot of stuff. Got into a car wreck, I think, in 1981 while he was on coke and, you know, had to go through a lot of rehab and shit. But yeah, he's just like scary at times and funny and goofy and just so distinct. He still stays busy. I mean, he works his ass off. He's doing like 50, 60 movies a year, sometimes more. I think he, you know, sometimes he'll do like 2 or 3 days on a movie, a lot of Lifetime stuff. But he's totally ripe for like a great role again. He was in Paul Thomas Anderson's Inherent Vice from 2014, which was a pretty good movie. Joaquin Phoenix plays like a stoner detective, kind of set in the 70s, Los Angeles. I mean, it was okay. I'm not a huge Paul Thomas Anderson fan. I love his spirit. I like Hard Eight, but I don't know, he's kind of trying to be Robert Altman so badly. And he loses me somewhere along the way. And his movies are too goddamn long. So yeah, but after Eric Roberts' car crash, I think he was a little bit damaged goods in the industry. But then Bob Fosse gave him a ring and put him in 1983 Star 80, which I had mentioned before about Dorothy Stratton, the Playboy playmate, and he plays Paul Snyder, the kind of boyfriend, pimp, sleazeball. And even though the character is a complete scumbag, you know, Eric Roberts is able to kind of like, you know, kind of get your, not sympathy, but it just, he makes him a human. And he makes him like, you know, although not totally, you know, nothing could justify that guy's actions, but you feel like the desperation and, he at least brought a humanity to it. I kind of used to love Runaway Train. It was from 1985 and it's directed by Andrei Konchalovsky. I saw the theater. Him and John Voight play these two convicts who like escape the prison and get on this train. That's a runaway train. And the conductor dies and they've got to, you know, figure out how the hell to do it. They're kind of doomed. But it was pretty well done. It was based on like an older screenplay by Akira Kurosawa. And then Edward Bunker kind of helped out on the revamped screenplay. He actually plays a little role in it. He was an ex-convict, Edward Bunker. Wrote some books and stuff, and he actually famously played Mr. Blue in Reservoir Dogs. And John Voight and Eric Roberts were nominated for Academy Awards. John Voight for Best Actor for Runaway Train and Eric Roberts for Best Supporting Actor. It was one of these canon films, Golden Globus movies. They're kind of schlocky, but this was kind of one of their more prestige pieces. A couple others we'll just touch on really briefly. There was this like made for Showtime movie. It was like a film noir kind of thing. Slow Burn, 1986. Whenever I think of Slow Burn, it's just funny because I used to work with this guy. His name's Coburn, and we always used to call him Slow Burn. So anyway. And it's like Eric Roberts plays kind of a detective who gets hired to find this guy's ex-wife, I think played by Beverly D'Angelo. She's in Palm Springs. And Johnny Depp has kind of a goofy role. It's not a great movie, but any kind of like, you know, find a girl, detective, missing shit, noir, even bad noir. I love that crap. And then one of the loved movies of Eric Roberts is Best of the Best. It's like this from 1989, directed by Robert Rodler. It's it is a nutty martial arts thing. It's like they're fighting the Korean team and all these guys have to get together, the American team. And it's you know, Chris Penn is in it, James Earl Jones and Sally Kirkland. It is so corny, but it's like lovable as hell. Eric Roberts has the most insane mullet and there's just like goofy fights and like 2 or 3 of the rock songs that are in it have the worst lyrics I've ever heard, but they're amazing. They're like, you have to just watch the movie to see the fights, to see his hair, and to listen to the music. It's incredible. And I was on Amazon not too long ago, and I came across, every once in a while I'll come across something like, what the hell is, I've never even heard of this fucking thing. What is this? And this was the case with 1995's Nature of the Beast, directed by Victor Salva, who kind of had somewhat of a shady past and got kind of busted for some random weird shit before. But it's got Lance Henriksen, and Eric Roberts and Breon James. And it's like Lance Henriksen and Eric Roberts are these two criminals. One is a murderer. One stole some money. You don't know which is which until the end. And it's surprisingly kind of good. Definitely worth watching. Lance Henriksen is just awesome. He's like the king of grizzle. He's like, you know, wrinkled and looks just weathered, but awesome. He's kind of always looked weathered. But yeah, me and my friend Buckley actually made a list of like the top 50 grizzled actors that I'll touch on at some point. But definitely worth watching. Completely worth watching. And speaking of Breon James, I was obsessed with Blade Runner as a kid, like before it came out. They kind of were marketing to some kids and stuff, surprisingly. It was in like, I don't know, maybe like Starlog magazine, and I joined the Blade Runner fan club and all this shit. Didn't really like the movie when I first saw it, but I appreciated it later. But yeah, Breon James is in it. He's the one of the replicants, Leon. And I saw Breon James walking around in Santa Monica. Got several years ago, a couple years before he passed. I think he was in ill health, kind of had a cane and stuff, was getting into his car. But yeah, it looked cool. And it was pretty awesome to see him. And then just down the street from where I saw him, me and one of my other friends, my man Philbrook, I call him Philbrook because that's his last name. We were eating at this place called Frito Misto, this okay Italian place. And this girl was kind of walking out and kind of it looked like Tia Leone. And so when she was walking towards us, I was like, oh, shit, it's Tia Leone. And then as she passed by, we're like, oh, no, that was not. Wait a minute. That was phony Leone. That wasn't really Tia Leone. So, yeah, now it's like a recurring joke between me and Scout, you know, phony Leone. And we kind of play off of Billy Joel's song. Phony Leone left a note on the door. She said, son, move out to the country. And me and my mom actually saw Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. Maybe last year. It was pretty awesome. And he hit one of his songs, Scenes from Italian Restaurant. My mom and dad were Brenda and Eddie. And the lyric from that song are, Brenda and Eddie were the Hollywood steadies and the king of the queen of the prom. So yeah, they're always like, how did he, you know, did he read about us, our marriage thing in the paper or something? Or how did he get those names? I mean, you know, it's kind of like, I guess maybe like Italian names-ish or something, but... Yeah, that's always, so when he started playing that song, there was like a little bit of a, you know, it was bittersweet. Seeing it with my mom, and my dad died, you know, in 2010. So, but anyway. So back to Blade Runner, Daryl Hannah was also one of the replicants in Blade Runner. And she is also in one of Eric Roberts' greatest roles, Pope of Greenwich Village from 1984. He plays Paulie. And actually, weirdly enough, the Paulie that we all know and love, Burt Young, who played Paulie in Rocky, is also in it. He plays kind of like the mob boss. And Burt Young actually recently died, so rest in peace. And Mickey Rourke is famously Charlie in the movie. Super suave. This was like the height of like Mickey Rourke's coolness. He just looked great. And the original director, I guess, wanted to fire Eric Roberts, and they were like, fuck you. They fired the director and brought in Cool Hand Luke's Stuart Rosenberg to direct the movie. And a really quick, weird Mickey Rourke detail. He was in this 1989 movie, Johnny Handsome, with Morgan Freeman, directed by Walter Hill. And he plays this kind of petty criminal who has some kind of disfigurement and kind of looks really weird. And so he gets plastic surgery after prison, and then he looks, you know, normal. He looks like Mickey Rourke at the end or after the surgery. And so it's just kind of weird because in real life, Mickey Rourke kind of, you know, went from looking like Mickey Rourke to, you know, boxing, and he had his demons and stuff and just kind of messed up his face, got a bunch of plastic surgery. And now Mickey Rourke looks weird. So kind of a strange irony there, but pretty good movie. Worth watching. But yeah, Pope of Greenwich Village, it's a fun movie. It's kind of, you know, it's a comedy with some, you know, darker elements. Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke are just these two guys in New York, and Eric Roberts just keeps getting himself in these fucked up situations. He's kind of a dope. Mickey Rourke is kind of trying to try and go legit, but he just kind of can't get there, and he keeps, you know, involving himself with Eric Roberts, and, you know, he loves the guy, and he's trying to help him out, and it's just a touching relationship. It's a funny movie. There's a lot of funny bits. And the soundtrack by the jazz artist Dave Grusin, God, it's great. There's a theme song that kind of gets played in different variations throughout the movie, and the CD is pretty hard to find. I think it's like $80 or something on Amazon, but I think I'm going to buy it. But anyway, the theme, it's just great. It goes, da, 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 na, 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 da, da, na, da, na, 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 na. It's just real touching. I mean, you know, you see the two guys like hanging out together, and it's just, I don't know, it kind of tears me up every time I hear it. And one of my favorite lines from Pope of Greenwich Village is kind of near the end, that Mickey Rourke is like, and with Eric Roberts, and they're pulling up in front of a bar in New York, and Eric Roberts is like, "You can't park here, Charlie. There's a fire hydrant." And Mickey Rourke goes, what do you want me to do, drive around the block? Which is so funny. And so they go in and get drinks or something. But I was on like a Pope of Greenwich Village kind of kick in the mid-90s. And when I was working at the editorial place with my buddy Phil Brook, for some reason we were talking and I was like, whatever, riffing kind of in a Eric Roberts style. And I came up with this thing where he was saying, I don't know, friends or something like that. And I was like, "I don't need friends, Charlie. I got plenty of friends. What I need is money." So I kind of like thought that was from the movie, or at the time I didn't, but with the passage of time, I was kind of like, okay, I think that maybe that was from the movie. I don't even know. It's all become muddled in my head. But anyway, that'll come back to play in a second here. So around the same time in the mid-90s at the editorial place, I was having to like transfer dailies, and we were doing a commercial for Earth Day, and it was this thing, Ode to a Tree. It was Eric Roberts sitting like on a, like just a real simple set, sitting on a chair and saying this poem about, you know, Earth Day and trees and stuff. And it was funny. I think he was clean at the time, but he kept fucking up the lyrics. And so, you know, he was kind of like being very sincere and like, "Ode to a tree. There's nothing quite as beautiful as a, oh, fuck, motherfucker." And then he would start like, "Okay, let's start again. Ode to a tree. Fuck." So it was hilarious him kind of keep fucking up. And so with the coming of this thing, Cameo, where you can kind of have, you know, celebrities make videos for you, blah, 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 that kind of thing. I've done it a couple times. For Buckley, I did this amazing one with Michael Biehn, who's in the original Terminator. And I kind of, it was like a birthday greeting. Buckley had like ran into Michael Biehn in the elevator at some point, kind of in his heyday. Michael Biehn, again, had a bunch of demons and stuff. But yeah, it was great. It came like, it got delivered the night of Buckley's birthday. I sent it to him. It was a complete home run. And so anyway, I saw Eric Roberts was on there, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get a cameo for myself. And so I brought up the Ode to a Tree. I was like, "Hey, I worked on this thing that you were in, and, you know, I don't know if you remember that or not." And then also, I was like, "Hey, you know, can you say this line from Pope of Greenwich Village?" And again, with the passage of time, I was like, okay, that line I came up with, I thought it was in the movie. And it really wasn't. So, but Eric Roberts he was so amazing in this cameo because, first of all, you know, he's like, you know, "Thank you for working on the Ode to a Tree. I do remember it, you know, but it's something, you know, can't be that nice having to watch it over and over again. You have my appreciation." And then for Pope, he was like, "I looked up a bunch of lines from Pope and I didn't see that one." Yeah, because it wasn't in the movie. But still, the guy read it for me. It was almost like I was the director asking him for an audition. And so he does it, you know, "I don't need friends." And I had him say it to Scott, my buddy Scott. "I don't need friends, Scott. I need money." And he said it a couple different times. And yeah, so total great guy. And I actually watched Pope of Greenwich Village just a couple days ago just to make sure that that line wasn't in the movie. And it wasn't. But it, you know, seemed like he could have said it. Could have been in the movie. So anyway, he just was his cameo. Some of those cameos are kind of dialed in, but pardon the pun because they're using their phones. But his was just like total energy, focus. He like, you know, just a great dude. Seems like an amazing guy. And yeah, so I'm still sitting here. My TV is still on. It's obviously completely fucked up. I should turn it off because it's annoying the fuck out of me looking at its broken screen. So we're going to wind this one up here a little bit short. And let's end with one of the great lines from the Pope of Greenwich Village after Paulie's unfortunate hand injury. "Charlie, they took my thumb."